Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges. Women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. My name is Shawn Marie Torrey, and I am your host for today. And our show is Business is Personal, What You Do and Why You Do It Matters. And today we've had a change of guest, and I could not be happier to be bringing you Kelly Lucente, who is the founder of Retool Marketing and the creator of Brandosophy. Good morning, Kelly.
Hi, Shawn Marie.
Hi, I'm so glad that you're here with us today. And just in an effort to give some complete disclosure, I want to let everyone know that I actually work with Kelly. And I've been lucky enough to have Kelly come into my company, and she is a branding and strategy expert. And she is a complete genius at helping businesses position themselves in the marketplace so that they stand out, and that she really helps them connect to what it is that's genuinely unique about them, and from a positioning perspective, really helps businesses and brands their ideal market. And a few things that I can tell you about Kelly is that she's been featured in dozens of publications. She's been on numerous TV shows and talk shows, and Kelly is definitely a walking example of what it is that she helps her clients with. And today our show is called What is Branding Really and Why is Everybody Talking About It? And that for me is a little bit of an homage to Harry Nielsen. And I feel like branding is definitely very much in alignment with Harry Nielsen's story, which was that no one knew who he was, but everybody was talking about him. And he influenced the Beatles and the Monkees and dozens and dozens and dozens of incredible artists. But nobody really knew who he was, but everybody knows his music. You hear his music and you're like, oh, that's that guy and that's that song. And from my experience, branding has been very much like that. It's something that everybody's talking about, from, you know, what color their website is to what their logo is. And I can tell you from personal experience that Kelly absolutely blows up all the myths around branding and around marketing and really gets to the core and the heart of the matter in the most effective way I can even tell you. And so without further ado, I would love for you to hear from Kelly today. And Kelly, one of my first questions to you is really, what is branding truly? And there's a lot of talk about it, and a lot of there's a lot happening around what branding is not. So would you mind taking, I know it's kind of a loaded question, but if you could start there and share with our listeners, what is branding really?
Sure, I am happy to. And first, let me just say, Shawn, thank you so much for such a sweet intro. I sat here riveted by all of the lovely things you said. So thank you so much. And I'll do my best to live up to those kind remarks. Yes, branding. It seems to be sort of a hot word, but also a buzzword. And it's one of my missions in life to create some clarity around that, because in my opinion and my experience, having sort of been in the field 25 plus years, so I'm really dating myself here, it really does boil down to brand. Everything that we do, and I'm happy to share what I mean by that. But first and foremost, I'll just clear some things up for people in one statement. Brand is how people feel and perceive things. And things is the broad term, so it could be other people, it could be a product or a service, it could be a business, it could be a hamburger, it can be anything, but it's how a person feels about it and perceives it.
Okay. And do you find, Kelly, that there is a lot of misconception around branding? Because, again, so many people are talking about branding and they think it's their logo, or they think that it's their unique selling proposition, or that it's just the colors that, you know, blue is more soothing and red is more dynamic. And so can you speak a little bit to this idea that there is, you know, that having a great logo is in fact enough? I mean, is it?
No, absolutely not. I will tell you, it's all of that and 1,000 times more. Brand is no small feat. It is not for the faint of heart. And I think people get tangled up in, you know, popular belief or people offering their opinion or impression. There's a lot of people who claim to do what I do and will hang their hat on brand identity. And identity is the logo. It is the color palette. It is the tone of voice and the messaging in the way that the company speaks. That's brand identity, but that's only one piece of it. At the end of the day, it's really about the consumer's experience, soup to nuts. And so you have to look at every single touch point with regard to, let's call it a widget for lack of a better term. So if it's a personal brand, if you're branding yourself, or if you're branding a product or service, so the company brand, let's call it a widget. Every single thing that touches that widget, from website, business card, you could have your organization's representatives out talking about the company, or you, your assistant, every single facet collectively is brand perception. Does that make sense?
No, it absolutely makes perfect sense, Kelly. It does. And something that you said that I really love, you were saying that really getting into this conversation of bringing, I think more specifically, bringing your business and your brand into this conversation with somebody like you, it's not for the faint of heart. And anybody who is thinking about this, I will tell you, that is such a true statement. And again, having personally worked with Kelly, and I am working with her currently, it takes a lot of willingness and a lot of, I think, letting go and really diving into a deeper conversation. And Kelly, one of the things that you say, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this with our audience, but I've heard you say before, that no one, it just makes me laugh, that no one thinks that their baby is ugly. So,
right.
And I think that a truer statement could not be made. So in an effort to assist people who may be feeling like their brand isn't completely dialed in, or that there could be some room for improvement, but they're super attached to their logo or their color palette, or they don't think it's important that their business cards don't really match their website. People that are maybe experiencing a little bit of resistance but are interested in diving into this conversation, how do you help people like that? Or is this really just a matter of, like, when the pain gets so great, then somebody would look out or seek out someone like you?
Okay, well, yeah, so you've asked me a couple of things, and I think what we should do is probably go at it from a different direction, if you don't mind. What I would say is,
no, not at
believe.
All.
Okay, so the misconception about branding and marketing is that it's very, very creative and it's very fluid. That is true to some degree, but I will tell you that what I do is very black and white. 70% of what I do is heady, very, very strategic, and 30% of it shows up creatively. Because we're all visual thinkers. But when I determine who I'll work with or whom I think I can help, one of the first questions I ask them are you in or are you optional? And the reason I ask that question is because I need to know if these people really are genuinely serious about moving the needle, because really that's what I do. I mean, it's all about sales conversion and business growth. And that happens when somebody opens their checkbook and will write you a check versus your competition or anybody else for that matter. You know, a lot of people utilize their discretionary income cautiously. And so you've got to really not only stand out from the crowd, but you have to have something that is newsworthy and certainly worth a purchase. And I got to tell you, a lot of people get in their own way. And that's why I will say, sort of tongue in cheek, nobody thinks their kid is ugly. It's because we build our businesses and based on our own personal preference. You know, I can't tell you how many times people say, but that's my favorite color. And I'll say, right, but it repels your audience. So if you don't do what is necessary for the audience, so all branding, all marketing, all sales effort has one singular focus, how to take a specific audience and convince them to drink your Kool-Aid. And you have to fish where there are fish. So once you identify your buyer demographic, who is your ideal customer, you need to go play in their sandbox. So let's say your audience you determine are female college students. Well, what you do is probably something around college campuses or hang out there in some way, shape, or form. And you also would probably argue then that you would do social media effort where they are. They may not be on Facebook. That seems to be an older demographic these days, but they might be on Snapchat or Pinterest or Twitter. I mean, there's a variety of things to consider holistically in brand evolution. So when you're looking at that audience, you say, okay, what are they like? What's trending for them? What is going to trip their trigger? That can be color, it can be tone of voice, things that you say, catchphrases, keywords or terms. All of those things count.
I love it, Kelly. I really, and you know, and I think that you really keyed into something, and that is that it's about moving the needle. And
right.
And that branding, when it's done really well, it really does equate to sales conversions and growth of your company. And what I think is really interesting too is that it's been my experience, which was one of the very first conversations you and I had, especially given your past experience with Rollerblade and Pepsi and MTV and like these huge brands that you you know, when you were in an agency setting, who you were representing, you know, I had this idea that my business was, you know, like I didn't need a branding expert because I wasn't at that level. And I think that that's been part of the misconception as well, that what you do now as this boutique agency with an amazing team behind you, but with you at the helm, you really are in a position to not only help corporations, but also businesses like mine, where I am an entrepreneur, but I have a very big message. And I have a very specific goal in mind of who I want to reach. And you just so helped me narrow that down and get even more specific. So one of the things, too, that I think is interesting is, you know, around who is it that you actually help, and whether it's you or somebody else who is at the level of having these conversations that you are, do you find that that is a misconception, Kelly, that entrepreneurs specifically either think that they're not ready for it or that it's a luxury, or in the case of a corporation, that it's something that should be done internally?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I guess what I'm trying to get at, do you understand the question?
Yes. I absolutely do. Okay, so I want the listeners to really hear this piece, if nothing else, from today, our time together today, is that whether you like it or not, you already have a defined brand. Mm. So even if they've done nothing, they get up and show up every day. There are perceptions made about them and their business all day, every day. What the objective is, and the reason I have a business around this, is I want to influence those perceptions. You know, people have opinions, and they're very subjective. And part of my specialty is taking an audience of people and steering that perception, morphing it into what I want them to feel about any particular thing. So whether or not an entrepreneur or a small business or a large business for that matter, I don't think the question should be whether or not they're ready for some brand management or some you know, strategic brand review. I think that goes without saying. I think the question is, how big do I want to be? How much of the market share do I want to own and or control? Because defining and refining the perception of what you do and what you sell and everything about that will determine how successful you are, because people are spending dollars. The question is, are they spending them on you and your product or service or your competitions? So really the strongest brands, those that put forth the effort, get the larger market share. So I would say a business just needs to decide, you know, where do they want to be? What are their short and long-term goals? And if it is growth, they need to look at their brand.
I love that, Kelly. And if somebody were at the point where they were willing to dive in and have that conversation, what would you say is the best place to start? I mean, obviously, they could reach out to someone like you, but even if they were just to start to take an internal assessment, like, could you share like two or three things? Like, this would be the first place to start. Like, if you're genuinely interested in taking an objective look at your branding, at what's working and what's not working, are you reaching the goals that you've set out at the beginning of the year? Have you found your there by the end of the year? Where could these people start, or these businesses?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you can. Yep. You can. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. That's totally fine. I was just going to say, I'm saying people because ultimately it's somebody who is making that decision, whether they are a solopreneur or a multimillion-dollar corporation. These decisions are being made by individuals. So where can they start if they want to move into having this conversation?
Okay. Well, I would say that two things. I'm going to preface what I'm about to say with two things. Number one, you are so head down in your own business that you do need an advisory team around you, okay? So you need to surround yourself with people who are smarter than you in various facets of business. And there's a reason for that. I, too, have advisory people, even in the brand space, because I'm not the smartest person in the world in what it is that I do, and I always want to strive to be better than and be out front of. And I would encourage other companies to do that as well in their industry. But that being said, you need the third-party input, but they have to be smarter than you. I always joke when I'm speaking in front of large groups, when I'm talking about creative services specifically, I say, unless you are a graphic designer, you're not a graphic designer, and neither is your cousin Sue. I use that because nobody in their right mind would watch an open heart surgery on a YouTube video and then claim they could perform one. So why people think that they can look at their own brands and think that they have insight if they are, let's say, an accountant by trade is illogical. So they really do need outside input in the space in which they're making the request. So if we're talking branding specifically, one of the things they could do, besides hiring a person who does what I do, is to do a self-audit of their brand. It really is about connecting dots. And a couple of things they need to look for before they do this audit is competitive research. They need to research their competition to figure out what they're up to. What are they doing better than them? What are they doing worse than them? And where are their pockets of opportunity that they could exploit? Secondarily, they need to do some consumer research. Are they, in fact, speaking to their target audience the way the target audience wants to be spoken to? If not, things need to be tweaked. And when they do their audit, they need to look at every single thing that they push out that could be seen or heard by their consumer. So that's all collateral material, business card. It is all web presence, both their social media and their website. And also, do not forget about LinkedIn. LinkedIn is one of the most important tools that a business person, not even business owner, but a business person has at their disposal. I always tell people, you can operate and run a successful business with three things: a business card, a website, and a kick-ass LinkedIn profile. You know, everything else is really important too, but if you had nothing but those three things, and they sing, you're in great shape. So one of the things that I would say really, first and foremost, is audit what you have in play. What's working, what's not working. Connect dots. I also say less is more. So if you are writing copy or you are looking at some creative, try and hear my voice saying less is more, less is more, less is more, because there's so much noise out there that we as consumers skim. And if it seems too complex, we are going to bounce. So really, really simplify, minimize, strip things out, and go back to the basics would be my recommendation if someone was going to do it on their own.
That is so good, Kelly. And we've got about 5 minutes left, Kelly, but I just wanted to ask you two more things. In regards to doing a brand assessment or finding an expert to do that, are there a couple of things that our guests should be on the lookout for? Because I definitely am seeing, you know, a lot of kind of weekend warriors, you know, individuals coming out of, you know, 3-day seminars or 6 or 8 week programs, and they come out and they are suddenly a certified brand expert. And,
yes,
you know,
they
are. And they may be really talented, really creative individuals, but, you know, what they don't have more often than not is this plethora of experience. And so if somebody were to start looking for somebody to do a brand audit for them or with them, are there a couple of things that they should be on the lookout for?
Oh, my God, absolutely.
Or is that a whole other hour conversation?
Yeah, that's a whole other show, but I'll just give you the Reader's Digest version. You need to find somebody with judgment, and the only people who have it are those who have experienced it, and I'm talking significant experience. You need to be looking, in my opinion, for people who've been in the business a while, because otherwise, if you're brand new in, you've got no frame of reference. I will tell you, or just repeat it again, 75% of what I do is chess playing. It isn't checkers playing. It's playing chess. I have to anticipate 10 steps ahead. Is this thing, this initiative that we put together, what impact is it going to have? What ripple effect is it going to have down the road? And if people can't see around the corner, they shouldn't probably be doing the work yet. There are lots of other things they can do to get their feet wet or get their sea legs in branding. But the best people that I have encountered who do the work in my space have been around a while, because it's very judgmental. It's all about a judgment call and anticipation and anticipating, really sort of having a magic eight ball.
Got it. Kelly, that's so good. That is so good. And because I know that you can do this in 2 minutes, and I want to make sure that we get this in, the last thing that I wanted to ask you is, you were at an event recently and you heard Andrew Knowles talking. And Andrew Knowles, for those of you who don't know, is Beyonce Knowles' father.
Yeah, it's Matthew. Sorry, it's Matthew Knowles. Yep.
Matthew.
Yep, Matthew Knowles. Mm-hmm.
And what I just thought we could leave our listeners with is the significance of brand. And I just thought that when you shared that, it was so significant. So would you mind sharing with our listeners what he had to say about branding?
Yes, I was this past summer at a event, a pretty big event. Over 3,000 business owners around the world were present for this, and I had the opportunity to hear a keynote by Matthew Knowles, who is Beyonce's dad, managed her and Destiny's Child, obviously. That's what he's known for. And also on stage was a good friend of mine by the name of Ken Cregan. For those of you who don't know him, he was the guy who did We Are the World and Hands Across America. So certainly some heavy hitters in the music and entertainment industry and on stage. And the interviewer asked Matthew if he could stake a claim on the one thing that determines success for an entertainer or not, what that would be. And he teed that up by saying, you know, there's approximately 36,000 acts that come to market every year, and only about 5% of them survive. And the reason is brand. And that was the word that came out of his mouth, was brand. And when she inquired further, he said, look, here's the bottom line. The strongest personalities, the strongest brands are the ones that get noticed. They're the ones that stand out. They're the ones that are the most appealing. And there is lots and lots of money and effort put into building very, very strong brands in the entertainment space. And you can see that. So whether they're very controversial or disruptive, like the Miley Cyruses of the world, or they're very clean cut and polished, like the Taylor Swifts of the world, each and of themselves is a very strong brand. Their followers are really the indicators of success. You know, it's the fans that write the checks, and we are in the same boat. It's about building a tribe or loyal followers who want to you know, pay it forward to us and give us room to grow and evolve by purchasing from us. So it was a very, very curious thing having it be such a an interesting industry that staked its claim on one single thing, and the word was brand.
That is so good, Kelly. And I think that is an incredible way to wrap up our show and ending with the significance of branding, and that it really does matter. And there is a reason that everybody is talking about it, but not everyone, as you said so beautifully, Kelly, really has that experience to pull from in that frame of reference, which you most certainly do. So I cannot thank you enough for being on our show today and for being my guest, Kelly. It means so much to me, and I know how busy you are. So thank you for carving out the time to do this and to share your advice and expertise with our listeners.
My
and
pleasure.
I just want to let any of our listeners know that if you'd like to connect with Kelly, the name of her company, again, is Retool Marketing, and you can learn more about her at retoolmarketing.com. Or you can email her at Kelly, and that's K-E-L-L-Y, at retoolmarketing.com. And Kelly, darling, thank you again so much. And I want to thank our listeners for tuning in today. And if you're listening to us on the replay, thank you for checking out what we're doing. And we will definitely be back next month and have another leading lady who I will be interviewing. And next month's topic is on social media. And so I hope that you'll join us, and I just want to wish everybody an amazing week or an amazing month. And Kelly, thank you again so much. And remember, everyone, that what you do and why you do it truly matters, because business is, in fact, personal. Have a great time, everyone. Bye-bye.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.